Okay, in this hour, of course, it's the interactive portion of the show. We'll take your phone calls with Steve Quayle, a few more questions for him, and then we'll be right back with you on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We'll get to your calls in a second. Steven, these massive sinkholes and giant cracks that are splitting the planet, what's going on with that? What's happening?
Well, I think that there's the time that we're seeing total volcanism now breaking out over the planet, the crustal shift, which is basically a theory that not a lot of modern scientists ascribe to, but there was kind of a fictional law, a novel by, the Hab theory, talking about the crust of the Earth being like an orange peel and the crust and the moving independent of the core and the mantle. And I think you're seeing it, George, all over. I think the stress that is being generated, and I believe it has to do also with interplanetary forces and obviously, you know, the information that we've dealt with over the years on Planet X. By the way, Bob Fletcher put out a great 2-series CD, and Bob has been one of the key researchers.
Yes, sure did.
Have you had him on? I think you had him on recently.
Yeah, we've had him on.
Yeah, and you know, I go back a long time with Bob, but here's the thing. The celestial dynamics of what's going on right now, we're seeing more and more, I would say, this truth being leaked as to the nature of what's really out there. And, you know, we were told there's no water on Mars. Now there's water on Mars. There's none on the moon. All of the things that, quote, science said were absolute fact are now questionable. I think that you're seeing in the obvious crustal shift, the giant sinkholes opening up, you're seeing the stress on the Earth's crust like no other time in the history of the world, except maybe a time of Noah's flood or what's called in the Bible Jeremiah's flood. There was a flood before Noah's flood and prior to, you know, the creation of man, but that's for another time, another story. But the point being is that now we've got the world's major volcanoes. By the way, we just had a 7.1 earthquake out in the South Pacific tonight. I don't know if you've seen that. So in my quick and fast counting, I think over the last week we've got close to, what, 6.6, this one 6.8, and this is now a 7.1. Jesus talked about the great earthquakes that are going to come, the great quakes that are going to come. And I think, too, George, that when, and this is something that people ask me all the time, how do you keep, you've asked it to me, asked me of it before, how do you keep from going crazy and letting this stuff overwhelm you? Well, it's real simple. I really do believe that when you tell people what's going to happen, it helps them to prepare. When you tell them why it's happening, it helps them. And I believe there's a supernatural war going on. Yeah, there really is. And I believe that literally all hell gets ready to, you know, break out on Earth. And the bottom line is that when before we went to the break, I said, the reports I get from all over the world of Stargates opening, and by the way, I want to put out a plea to anybody who has, and I'm serious, that has magic level clearance or cosmic to validate what's going on in northern Canada. I won't name the province, but I will share it with you, George, just like we've done before. Remember, there have been times when people, I put out that request, and I mean instantly. What I'm asking for is validation, because the story that I'm being told through somebody I know dovetails perfectly with what I have been, how should I say, fortunate enough to be let in on over the years and years going on. And there's a whole different realm of what I would call reality-based events taking place that have to do with supernatural creatures being loosed on the Earth. The whole thing I've written about for 25 years, fallen angels, and the emails I'm getting now are being filled up where they used to be about, let's just say, everything but that. I would say the predominant emails I get in a day, probably some days 400 or 500, you can't believe how many people are having encounters with strange entities, strange beings, incubus and succubus, and literally Jesus said men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for looking out, upon those things coming up on the earth. And, you know, the Old Testament prophet Joel said, basically, there's the mighty are coming up from under the earth, the mighty are coming down from heaven, and guess what? We get squeezed in the middle. And the thing that helps me to keep my sanity and my focus, and people say, that's that old-fashioned stuff. Jesus is real to me today, as he's ever been, and he can be real to everybody. Look, I'm telling you, people are freaking out, and science has no solutions. I mean, do you really want to take a vaccine for a bioweapon that the same people that designed the bioweapon are going to offer you? I don't think
Heck
so.
No, and it's not proven.
It's not proven. And I got news for you. I don't see that God created us as guinea pigs, and yet there is a group that sees us as nothing but useless eaters. You know, years ago when you and I used to speak, we'd talk about that. We'd talk about a group, whether it's the Illuminati, the globalists, that just simply want to waste 5 billion people or 5.5 billion people. Georgia Guidestones last week, the date 2014 was put up in one of the corner intersections of the Guidestones themselves. Then I understand it was taken down. So we're now in a new period of time where, like I tell people, it's just like the book I wrote, Breathe No Evil. Someone says, you're going to reprint that? No, I'm not going to reprint it because we're already there. We're already in that thing. And by the way, of all the times, I think Coast listeners have been the most informed, at least the ones that I talk to, and I have 200 copies of that left, and then I'm never going to reprint that. Why? Because that was so far ahead of its time. It was printed 20 years ago, okay? It's as relevant, if not more, today, because then, who knows? I remember telling the story on Coast. People, mainstream publishers, didn't think biological and chemical weapons were, you know, newsworthy. Then, obviously, Richard Preston's book, The Hot Zone, came out. Lori Garrett, The Coming Plague, and a few others, you know. And, obviously, I didn't end up on the New York New York Times bestsellers list. But the point is, a lot, thousands and thousands of people got informed. So that's what we do tonight. We inform people. And again, I want to say this. Isolation will be the mode of the day in areas where Ebola has broken out. And again, when you think of the nonsense now, if you think of the timing of just how many people have come into contact with those people from West Africa, look, it's not a racist thing. I'm on the radio all the time saying this was a test tube. Even I think it was the Ghana Times or something of Ghana, and they must have listened to a broadcast I did because they almost repeated it word for word, and they get it, okay? The only people that don't get it are the ones that listen to mainstream media who are intentionally fed, you're going to love this word, okay, vomit, regurgitated unreality,
And they take it.
And they take it.
They take
I got news for you. I want a nice meal. I don't want someone else's barf bag of lies.
Let's go to the phones for you, Stephen. Sue Ann is in Newburg, Indiana. Sue Ann, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hello, Stephen. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to talk to you. I've listened to you before, and I believe, right along the lines you are on, and as I told probably Tom, one of your answers.
Well,
I walked out from underneath my portico, and all of a sudden, I was being rained on by invisible spiral needles, and I was screaming at the top of my lungs because it was summertime. I didn't have much, a pair of shorts, tank top, and, sandals, and my brother-in-law pulled me in under the portico, and I looked up, and there were like 9 chemtrails. And within 3 days, I got sick with whooping cough, followed immediately by the H1N1 virus.
Jeez.
And then I had chicken pox at age 65. And I really believe there is a conspiracy that Mr. Obama is behind because he wants his Medicare plan to be what he wants it to be. And he's trying to eliminate, my theory, he wants to eliminate the older population so he has more money to spend in other directions.
All right, Steve, I'm going to jump in for a second, too. I don't think government is that shrewd to do that. I don't think this president wants to kill off people or anything like that. Your thoughts?
Well, I do. And I think that if you understand, even he's gone on record as saying there are powerful people even behind the presidency that make the rules. I that's not word for word. I can tell you this. chemtrails have been directly linked. And I know the patent on chemtrails. I know the patent numbers. I don't know all of them. But what I'm saying is there are so many of them. And when human leukocytes and red blood cells started turning up in the chemtrail residue, then I knew exactly what it was. My number one concern, George, is this. Is the chemtrail spray Beyond More Gallons? And by the way, I believe that the caller who just basically, I can tell you that there are other people that are experiencing everything from Morgellons to severe acute respiratory syndrome to pneumonia, you name it, all kinds of respiratory and all kinds of skin lesions. And the common denominator is chemtrail. And by the way, in my opinion, one of the best websites out there, I have nothing to do with it, it's called AirCrap, AIRCRAP.org, AirCrap.org. And I still have people that shake their head and say, that's not chemical chemtrails, that's contrails. And I say, okay, what is the standard? And this is just why everybody should ask this question. What is the standard height that airliners fly, even military planes fly, east to west or north to south? They have air corridors.
It's like 30 to 35,000 feet.
Exactly. And sometimes during a thunderstorm, they'll get some of the planes that are certified and go to 41,000 feet, okay? Seriously, in Bozeman, Montana, I posted on my website, I had just done a radio show the night before, I think with Doug Hagman, and I posted them. They're on my website. Go to my photos of the day and you'll see them. The point is that what's the chance of an X over my, I live in a condo, what's the chance of an X over my condo, literally over my condo? Now, the winds are blowing to the west, okay? And, I mean, with no exaggeration, I'm it probably no higher than 1,500 to 2,000 feet AGL, above ground level. And, you know, George, I sent you my photo book, and you know I spend a massive amount of time in helicopters. So because of the photos and the coverage of my lens, I'm at all different levels at all time. If I'm in Glacier, I'm at 10,000 feet. If I'm in Yellowstone, I'm at, you know, whatever minimums allowed, 2,000 feet above ground level. But an X over my house after I'm talking about this stuff. And so, you know, I am convinced that, and given the chemtrail mixture and the chemical composition, my number one concern is that is a medium, like a Petri dish, and that they already have experimented with the bioweapons. And when they come into contact with that, again, I don't know the process. I am not a molecular biologist, but I will tell you this. If A is poison and B is poison, then A plus B must make C, then I'm really worried about the C. And I think we're at the time of the C, meaning the literal combination of pathogenic viruses created in a laboratory mixing with an aerosolized medium. And this, look, the encapsulation of bioweapons, you know, is probably one of the most sophisticated ways to increase a bioweapons lethality. And again, if people want to go on my website, stevequayle.com, go click the dead scientist and just read the brief descriptions of what they did. And somebody said, well, these are all high school teachers. Are you kidding me? The only people that say that are the guys on, you know, somebody's payroll to call them a stupid statement.
Don't you think, though, this is above presidents? It's way beyond presidents.
Oh, way beyond presidents. Can I say this? There are so many puppet strings that the only way you could call this is the circus of the absurd, but who you see is not who controls what is, okay? It goes way beyond.
Way beyond. Okay, let's go back to the calls. Nick's in Brighton, Michigan. Welcome to the show. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Great to be with two distinguished gentlemen.
Thank you, Nick.
Believe it or not, guys, the reason I'm calling is the plagues of Europe back, I think it was the 15th century. I recall reading that not all people died of that, including the ones who had robbed the corpses. And when the royal family interrogated the thieves, they discovered the magic secret was spices. And not long ago, I heard an interview. Maybe Steve knows of this fellow, Agarwal from MD Anderson, who authored he's an MD, PhD, and he's from India. He authored the book healing spices.
Well, you're absolutely right. And Stephen, turmeric, it's one of those spices we talk about all the time.
Right. And the name Thieves Oil came exactly from what the caller is describing. The guys that would rob the bodies would use the spices and the aromatic ones especially, you know, to basically protect themselves. And there is a, you know, a lot of people that sell essential oils sell the combination called Thieves Oil. It got its name from the very situation of the plagues in Europe, and these guys would cut the grave robbers would literally cover themselves with this, and they would not catch it. So, you know, and this is what Mike Adams, naturalnews.com, I'm telling you what, if anybody's on top of all of the, and look, the guy deserves the mention and beyond that, because he's fighting for the truth. And I would say this, he's like a tiger dealing with the tanks surrounding him, and he will come out on top because the truth is on his side. But naturalnews.com, and he's talking about all of this stuff. And isn't it interesting, George, that you can basically patent bioweapons, meaning the CDC, you can patent vaccines, but you cannot legally now mention any alternative therapy, or they want to come and lock you up. You know why? It breaks their control. And the number one control associated with this whole thing is fear. So, you know, I commend the caller for calling in on that, because that's true. Natural immunity, and I'll even go one step further. The reason why the people are brought back to the States is because if they have any natural antibodies, the patent and the patent claims of the CDC would take those antibodies generated by that disease, and they can claim them as intellectual property and patent that too. Do you get me?
Remember the movie Dune? Dune?
Yep.
Wasn't that about spices?
You know, I don't remember that about spices.
It was a secret.
Yeah, but the two movies that I think are just in your face telling the truth, obviously, were Contagion. You know, that's recently. And Dustin Hoffman, Outbreak, you know, that was a marvelous movie, so ahead of its time. And I literally interviewed some former intelligence agents that said, Steve, the opening scene in that movie in Africa was literally true, okay? And I will say this again. You and I have spoken extensively on Coast, George, about race-specific bioweapons. They've got it down to any genetic marker they can create a specific weapon to. But if someone should live, they want, and I hope people are hearing this, they want the financial claim to that antibody produced. So if I produce a poison and George Norrie survives, I can take the antibodies in George's bloodstream and I can patent GN1, George Norrie 1, okay? And I'm not being facetious. So that's why I believe these guys are brought back from the field, and I believe that it's to determine the efficacy and the lethality. By the way, the caller was also correct. Not everybody died during the Black Death or the Spanish Flu of 1918. You could have one neighbor that died and one neighbor that fared well. But it's the antibodies in a person's immune system and their, I guess you'd say, their composite metabolic base that determines, and that's why Mike Adams and others are saying, look, you've got to build up your immunity. You've got to build up your immunity. And that's why, again, people don't have good health practices. Good example, point in question.
Hold on, Steve. We're at the break. We'll be back. And Dune was about a spice, by the way, called melange, which is called spice. You live longer, so, hey, we're onto something. Well, next hour, as we talk about after-death experiences with Dr. Eben Alexander, his new work is out, and it is a dandy called Map of Heaven. We'll come back in a moment with Stephen Quayle and take final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Stephen Quayle, back with your final calls here. Let's go to Allison in Omaha, Nebraska. And that's where the NBC freelancer is, I believe, Stephen, who has the Ebola. Allison, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
And yes, we've had the second patient is here right now at our hospital.
How's he doing? What is the media saying about this?
You know, there seems like they're being a lot more hush-hush on this one, at least so far. I don't know why that is. Of course, there was questionable things in the pictures, people that weren't, you know, in the full garb and things like that.
Yeah.
There's really some things that are kind of fishy that kind of make you raise your eyebrows and everything. But they, I actually work in the medical field, so I get the emails from the hospital, you know, kind of with updates and stuff, but it stays pretty generic. It, you know, they don't get, even with the staff and stuff like that, they don't get really into a whole lot of the detail. So, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I guess you know about as much as I do,
yeah.
Even though I'm in network, if you want to say that. But my question is, it's kind of related to that, is I'm 29, and what would you say or suggest to young couples who are considering starting a family right now? Because it's a very conflicting position to be put in the time that we're going through, because, you know, instinctually we have this desire to procreate, and of course there's societal influences coming in, you know, when you get to a certain stage to start families. But with everything that's taking place economically and politically, and how corrupt the world is, and all this stuff with Ebola and, you know, potential pandemics and all these things, should we be less focused on family planning and more focused on a bug out plan?
Wow. Can I tell you something? Questions like that are, and I'm not chickening out. I personally, and I want you to know, this is me personally, I'm not speaking from any other position. I would tell people to hold off until this thing blows over or burns out. I'll tell you why. I'm really worried about what they're going to do. If Ebola were to break out in one school, so my answer to you is, look, there's no rush, okay? You're still young. You're really young. But at this point, because of all the shenanigans and the lies, since you're, you know, are you a nurse?
No, I'm an administrative assistant. Or a doctor's office.
Okay, but anyway, it doesn't matter. The first thing that happens in a school, what are they going to do in a school? They're going to lock everybody down, and all it takes is the assumption. Again, I want to share something. I think there has to be a board, an independent board of a non-whores. My definition of whore is somebody that's not on the mainstream payroll, to basically check the results, because we don't know. All we're being told, and again, it's real basic. You can go and do an internet search on Ebola, hemorrhagic fever, Marburg, and on any of those. And the bottom line is that there is no indication that any of the images or any of the reports are Marburg related. When you got guys walking out of ambulances and they claim they've got Ebola, ain't happening. Now, they have something, but it isn't Ebola. So my answer to you specifically, and I would say this to parents all, considering that at this point, it will not be the wrong decision to put it off. Saying that, I know people that are still basically having children. And everyone that I know, it kind of boggles my mind. And look, I'm not anti-kid. I think I've got 5 kids and 4 grandkids, okay? But the point is, I'm not the one producing the grandchildren. And when I think of all of the things that are going on, I'm just saying, look, if you can put it off, put it off. And a bug-out plan is a good idea. Or now we need a bug-in plan, because I think everybody's got to come to this conclusion. Until this thing burns itself out, you may be put into a home. And by the way, George, you were right, thieves' oil, and that was basically it was the spice traders that ended up being forced in that position, and they're the ones, and there's 17 different versions of the thieves' oil story, but suffice it to say, they were spice traders. So I think the caller was very...
he's right on.
Yeah, astute in that. But going back to our lady that's calling right now, or the lady that's calling, the point is that I think everybody needs to get serious, and I call it life assurance planning, okay? A long time ago, when they used to say survivalists are nutcase, they still do, one division of the federal government, DHS, claims any preppers are terrorists, and meanwhile, FEMA tells you to prepare. The point being is this, forget the mixed signals, do what's right. It's never wrong to assume that your power could go out. You could be isolated, there could be a curfew, whatever. So I think everybody needs to basically, at this point, consider a bug-in plan. Unfortunately, when the fear associated with it, and I want to go on record, the military, since they have developed the bioweapons over the past 40 years, actually longer than that, let me just do quick and dirty math in my head, since the end of World War II, so let's say for the last 70 years, they have instantaneous kits. When I say instantaneous, 30 minutes or less, that they can find out if a person has Ebola or not. You see, there is no call, and meaning this, there's no public outcry, then stop the nonsense. Because when you can stall the results, you can also increase the fear factor. And my prayer for tonight is to decrease the fear factor and get everyone to be proactive instead of basically being led to the slaughter by liars in semi-government-sounding agencies.
All right, let's go back to some more calls. We've got Jim truck driving in North Carolina. Jim, go ahead. Take it away.
Hey, George. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Jim.
Okay, I have a question. It seems to me like when the first two, the doctor and the nurse, when they came back and they had this, didn't they give them some kind of a test antidote or serum done by the government? And if that's the case, I mean, it seems like they cured pretty quick. I mean, what happened to that?
And I'm not sure, Steve, that those two had Ebola, even though they said they did. They really got cured pretty quickly. Remember that?
Right. And can I say something? Again, that makes me suspicious. I do not believe they had Ebola that we all have known. And if people will just do a basic search on that, George, they had something. It was a direct, let's call it Ebola light. And I'm not making, quote, light of it. All I'm saying is it is not the full-scale hemorrhagic version.
No, this guy, Duncan, who just died, that guy had the full-scale version.
Right. And let me share this. I believe, and I'm going to be even put on my, quote, conspiracy hat, I believe that the Ugandan outbreak of Marburg was to cover bases, because now they can claim, oh, no, no, until I see it, okay? I don't trust them. I don't trust their reports. And when they say trust us, are you kidding? They have so breached the public trust. They have so put the public in harm's way. And they will go down as, in my opinion, those who have lied, who have shown absolute total disregard for human life and the lives of the American citizens by leaving open the borders, by lying about all of the different issues associated with this Ebola. The point being, does it really matter when panic breaks out if it's the real thing or a knockoff of it? And, oh, by the way, you have to buy this vaccine at $100 or $200. When people's lives are at stake, they will do anything to stay alive. Most people will. And so that's what concerns me. Never in the history of a pathological outbreak of such a nature has a, you remember, George, you say, well, this will take us months or could possibly take years. Nah, it's too convenient. And it comes at a time when there's too much political pressure going on. And I call it circus ridiculous. Okay. And that's why I believe the media, most of the mainstream media, there are exceptions, are absolutely complicit in the biggest lie that will result in massive death.
Let's go to Jack in San Diego now, west of the Rockies. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Oh, to the lady that called two calls back, you know, there's a passage in Revelations that it says something about woe unto the woman who is with child, meaning it's not a good idea to have kids if you think you're in the end times.
Right, that's Matthew 24. By the way, that's not in the book of Revelation, but that was the advice of Jesus. He said, woe unto them who give suck in those days, okay? That means with nursing infants. And again, I just think given all the stuff going on, and I'll refer it right back to you, sir, but the bottom line is that's the passage you're talking about is that specific passage in the book of Matthew. It's not in
Revelation. I wanted to talk about Ebola, and your last caller, The drug that he was referring to, I think they called it ZMAP or something like that, and it was actually manufactured in San Diego where I live, and supposedly Duncan didn't get it because they ran out of it. But here's my question. To me, Ebola is the viral version of ISIS, and when I listen to the director of the CDC and he's talking about we're going to be fighting Ebola for years, it's going to be a long battle, rhetoric like that, I'm expecting President Obama in the next couple of weeks to say that we are now in a war with Ebola. And it's going to be like the war on terror. It's never going to end. The government's going to get bigger to fight it, and our rights will be diminished. Do you think that that's where we're headed?
Absolutely, and I think it's in your, I think it's in San Diego, where now bumper stickers are coming out, and they're calling it Obola with the, you know, Obama's little signature thing. Now, again, here's the deal. The war on terror is a never-ending a travesty, and you know what it costs. The same people that are behind ISIS are the ones behind the war on terror. And look, they were trained by us. When you look at all of their actions, you really tell me that, you know, and I don't mean any disrespect, but Iraqis and the troops that are over there can deal with all this sophisticated equipment and stuff without training. Who trained them? We did. And ISIS is nothing more than just, it's I would say this, it's a Mujahideen on steroids. And unfortunately now they've got the blood and the bloodlust, and forgive me, but the history of a radical, militant, and historic Islam is cut everybody's heads off that doesn't see it your way. That is the expression of historic Islam. If people want to rewrite it, and why is this critical? Because the point is that as long as they can keep the people in fear, and hasn't that what we've been told over and over and over since 9/11, it's going to come, it's going to come, it's going to come, it's going to come. Well, the bottom line is it is coming. The book of Revelation specifically talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and it is the design and the desire of the Illuminati, the global elite, to knock off 9/10 of the world's population. I think if you fit into that category, I'm not being sarcastic to you, sir, I'm just saying all of us should be rather upset about that.
You know, Stephen, too, they keep saying, you know, they're coming toward a city, whether it's a Syrian city or an Iraqi city, and they're coming out of the desert, which means they're right out there in the open. I mean, you're not hiding. It's not like Vietnam where they, you know, hid in the jungles. Why don't we just take them all out with these massive bunker bombs or something?
Well, again, the deal is, George, that would assume we want to take them out.
True.
And what happens if they don't? Let me share this, okay? A really great statement of Jesus. The tree is known by the fruit it bears, okay? And what are you seeing here? You're seeing Christians slaughtered, murdered, mutilated, and I can use all the other words, and yet silence from the death house, okay? And I call it the death house. I believe when you do not fight for the innocents, then you have to be complicit. And I'm going to say this. The bottom line is we have a Congress and a senator, Senate, that is basically so wrapped up in themselves. And you know, I think selfies is a good word. I think this is the most narcissistic country in the world. And I think that because our eyes are so focused on ourselves, I believe, and you've heard me say this on your show, that by keeping people tied up in a virtual reality world, the same people that pull the strings cut interpersonal reaction. It cuts information that doesn't go through the control. And we're the most spied on group of people in the world. And still now Facebook's going to allow us what? And by the way, I don't do any social media. I told everybody when Marcus Wolf was hired by FEMA years ago, you absolutely don't want to build your own intelligence dossier. This is an intelligence agent's dream. Everybody spills their guts on all the social media. Now they're going to let you register a pseudonym, but of course they'll know who you are, and you can spill your innermost secrets. It's kind of like a techno priest, okay, or a techno pastor. And so we've got now the days of total, and I would say this, the interpersonal relationship that God created to be such a wonderful thing. I know two people that fight. They're a husband and wife. They don't communicate. They stay in the same bed. And instead of talking, George, and I'm not making this up, they text message each other.
In bed?
Yeah, in bed. In the same bed. I'm not kidding. And you know, I tell people, I want to go down to a Baskin-Robbins or an ice cream store, take an ice cream cone, and run it into my head about five
times. Maybe they're doing something else, Stephen.
Nope, I know the situation. That's not happening.
All right, let's take another call or two. We've got Jay in Chicago, first-time caller. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for holding so long.
Oh, no problem. This is a great show. Well done, Stephen. My issue with this is I'm, dilly-dally around the bioweapons issue because Ebola can be very easily weaponized. The 95 study, monkey study, showed that. But the biggest problem with Ebola are mass casualties. It's making it an effective bioweapon. You need a lot of it. Pounds and a spraying system or a delivery system to do such, to make mass casualty. I mean, anthrax and smallpox are probably the choice weapons, predominantly because they're cheap.
And controllable.
They're controllable. And you can get them easily delivered. My issue, too, is here is that when we as a country go to sleep around security, not only do we go to sleep, we take Ambien while we go to sleep. Because this hospital blew every CBRNE protocol that's ever been written. Not once, not twice. We even allowed the sheriff's office to go to the guy's apartment that we put in quarantine and never swept clean. So we are ISIS here on bioweapons.
There's no doubt. We only have a minute left, so I had to cut you short. Stephen, I want you to wrap it up.
Well, I want to make this clear. I am saying this is a bioweapon. I am saying that we are experiencing a full-scale biological attack. I am saying this is not Ebola or Marburg that we're seeing yet. And people, it's simple. There's no hemorrhaging. Forgive me, that's the word, hemorrhagic fever. And George, I just want to say this again because I'm getting some emails. You can go online. Where can you get my book? Not on Amazon. I'm the publisher, but I only have 200 copies of Breed No Evil. That book was so far ahead of its time. It tells you the stuff you need to do in addition to tell you all of these diseases. And for the record, every single disease that you see breaking out in the United States, whether it's chikungunya or even the leprosy, the point being is that those have been weaponized. And I want to go tell everybody this. Go and get the Journal of American Medical Association's 2002 May 8th edition, even if you have to pay online, you know, and see that. And you will see what we are dealing with is not an accidental release of some Ebola. This is a total manufactured release using a bioweapon to bring people under the umbrella of fear, and it's a Hegelian dialectic. They create the Ebola, they create the vaccine, and you lose all your freedoms, and who knows out.
Stephen Quayle's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com.